I'm delighted now to welcome Ricardo Acosta. He is the editor of the documentary Marmato, which screens this Friday at 12:30 in the afternoon at the CCA. It's part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me here, Marie-Charlotte. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you. This is a really wonderful documentary, if you can call it that. I mean, a very moving documentary about a place in Colombia called Marmato, where there is a massive deposit of gold that the whole world seems to want to get its hands on, or specifically some Canadian mining companies. What is the history of this movie? How did it come to be made?
The history of this movie has to do with a German filmmaker named Mark Grieco. He's an American artist and filmmaker who have been traveling for a while through Latin America as a photographer. He's an excellent photographer. He also did the camera work in Marmato, which I think is a beautiful work. Mark happens to be in Colombia, and he was in Marmato. And when he was in Marmato, he found some aspect of this story where the Marmateños were dealing with the beginning of this takeover from the Canadian company, one of the reincarnations of the Canadian company, because it changed names through many years. And Mark thought that this was an amazing story. This is a town that have been, his people there for 500 years, has been exploring gold in a very traditional way. And mostly it's a town where there were very interesting indicators. There was no crime, no guerrilla, no paramilitaries, which is quite unique in the context of Colombia. It's a town where people will go to the mine to get the gold that they need to sustain their family and live a life with dignity and in a healthy environment. It was not a town about greedy multinational corporations. And they live on top of a beautiful mountain that they have been carving and going into the belly of that mountain every day for over 500 years, since the time of the indigenous people were there before the Spanish arrived, doing the same thing, harvesting gold in an artisanal way.
And that's something that I think many of us don't think about, is that there are such different ways of gold mining. There's actually a kind of slower and sustainable method of gold mining that becomes a tradition among the people who live in this place.
Exactly. And Marmateños will not look at their life in any other way. For they will get this gold. They are all miners by default, because that is where you are when you are a Marmateño. They will go inside the belly of the mountain of Marmato, get some gold, and send their children to school and, you know, have a normal life. But it was all very much, they are very much part of the process of getting the gold, but also of owning the gold.
Now, a Canadian mining company bought 80% of the mines in that area with the intention of removing this mountain entirely, just obliterating the mountain, making an open pit mine. And we see them in the course of this film trying to sell the Marmoteños on the idea that this would benefit the town, even as their plan is to destroy the town.
Yeah, it's kind of an oxymoron. And again, it's now, yesterday some people celebrated Columbus Day and other people celebrated Indigenous Day. It's the same story again and again of, I give you some bling bling and you give me your resources. It happens 500 years ago, it happens 200 years ago, and it's happening today around the world. So I'm going to your town, you live in this beautiful mountain, I'm going to cut the mountain, open the mountain, take all the minerals out of the mountain, create also in my way out environmental disaster, and I'm going to move you to El Llano, to the flat to the bottom of the mountain. And I'm giving you, quote unquote, an hospital, a school. But what I'm not telling you is that I'm also bringing in 3,000-4,000 workers that are going to be the real workers of this company. That crime will come because this will become the new frontier of people who want to be rich in 2 days. Okay, let's go to Marmato, get some gold. And by the end, in 25 years, whenever they finish the exploitation of the mountain, what will be Marmato like? Another casualty of corporate greed.
And the greed is so evident in the people who are in this film, some of the people who are representatives of the corporation. You see them just trying to cover it, but they can't cover it. It's really not about, they're trying to sell, oh, we're giving you school supplies to your schools, mm-hmm. or we're giving you backpacks. And all they want, I mean, you can see the dollar signs flashing in their eyes.
It's really, for me, one of the beautiful things that Mark Grieco, the director, did is, I used the word perseverance and resilience and commitment to your story. Mark, this is his first film, by the way. And it's a beautiful film. I'm biased, but I think it is. Mark spent 5 years of his life pretty much living in Marmato. He did something that most filmmakers don't have the time, the patience, or the anticipation to do. He observed the life of Marmateños. He understood the town. He learned the language. He learned the stories, the legends. He learned the issues, the complexity of the issues. And one thing that we agree from the beginning when I start talking to Mark about working in the film as the editor was, for me, there are two ways of telling stories. One is to tell a story for the people who are converted, and you can make a very powerful or not pamphlet. And another one is to tell a story to convert people into a difficult issue. And I cannot convert without giving you an honest sense of humanity and the human scope and the human voice of an issue, which is the only way that we can understand how complex and how important or how difficult is that issue. And one thing that we agree from the beginning was, let's not have any outsiders, let's not have what I call the blah, blah, blah of the activists who live in Bogota or in Toronto or anywhere else and talk about the issue. Let's tell the story character-driven by finding who are those people in the many, many, many hours of filming that you have done that better will represent the complexity of the film and the story.
One of those people is José Dumar, who is somebody that one falls in love with mm-hmm. over the course of the film, really in the first couple of minutes of the film.
I fell in love with him too, and with his beautiful family. José Dumar, I mean, when I am looking at footage at the beginning of any documentary that I work on, I spend hours and hours looking at footage, trying to find what is the actual truth of that footage, what is the beauty, the complexity, what the footage is telling me. And then suddenly I saw this very beautiful man, the only man living in a family of 5 women, 4 daughters, and his beautiful wife. I love one thing about Dumar, and it's how much he loved his family. And how much connected Dumar is also to his female side as a man, which is quite difficult to find in our culture here or in whatever, in quote unquote, Latin culture. Dumar, it's another girl in the house. And I love that. You know.
And yet he's very manly and masculine in his way as well.
He is. He's very manly, masculine, but he loves his family, and he's raising his girls the way they are. They are girls They're beautiful, and they are one. He wants them to move forward. He wants to break the cycle of underdevelopment. He wants to send his daughters to school. And the only way he can do that is by working in the mines and harvesting and getting that gold.
Now, from the workers' perspective, and I think José Dumara is the one who says this, the foreign corporations of today are the equivalent of the paramilitaries and armies of the previous period, and they go into acts of resistance. How do they resist?
They resisted in a way that what I will call they did an act of appropriation of what quote unquote was now property or belonged to a Canadian Colombian company. Because let's agree that this is not a Canadian coming in and imposing something. This is some very rich people in Colombia who are also part of the government opening the belly of their country, the natural resources, to foreign investors. And Canadians or Americans, or they are just taking an advantage of that. And so what the Marmateños did was the Canadians came in, they bought a bunch of mines, then they closed the mine. There is a law in Colombia that said that if a mine is closed for X amount of time, several, I think it's 9 months or a year or something, the locals have the right to open that mine, go in and work the mine, because they have the right to find their own subsistence. And they were basically doing that in a very intelligent way. While the company had not all the money and all the investors together to really start leveling down the mountain, the Marmateños start breaking in the mines that were closed and start working in the mines. This time as illegal miners. And that is how the concept of guachero comes to exist. The guachero is basically a miner that will go in, break the locks of a closed mine that has been inactive for over 2-3 years, and start mining. Mining to survive, mining to eat, mining to send his children to school, mining to live with dignity, which is, I think, is beautiful. Yeah.
There's a character, Conrado, who is really an old-time mine owner, and it's such an interesting character to me because this guy, on the one hand, is like a real old-timer. He runs the mine in the way that they've done traditionally for hundreds of years. On the other hand, he sounds like a capitalist. He says, I like money. And he's not just about subsistence. He's really about his own self-interest as well.
Yes, Conrado is, I think, you know, one thing that I find very powerful about the film is that every character is very convincing and beautiful in their own complexity. Conrado is a beautiful character. Conrado is also, for me, the symbol of the old Marmato. Conrado is also someone who is a local miner owner, mine owner, like few other in Marmato who have been working that mine for many, 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 many years. It's still full of vitality and healthy. But Conrado has many children and he's old. And one of the things that I find very interesting about the film is how Conrado have a point by saying, I'm tired and I want to sell because I want to get out of here and I want to give my children some money if I move on. He's doing it on his own personal interest. At the same time, Conrado is the same person that when they do the blockade and do not give dynamite to the workers, to the miners to really work, will be on the side of the miners. Because he also understands what is behind all this. But Conrado is definitely one of those who represent the people in the town who are in favor of opening the town to corporate investment. And in many ways, he's the old Marmato. Conrado is 70, almost 80 years old.
Yeah, and we see him climbing trees, and he's he's a very strong man. Now, what has been the effect of Marmato's resistance, that this town's resistance? Because, I mean, I get news from all over Central America, all over South America, about these mining corporations that are coming in and destroying, whether it's mineral extraction for fuel or other kinds of mineral extraction for metals, destroying towns, destroying cultures, destroying environments. What has been Marmato's broader effect?
You know, Marmato is an interesting example, I think. I mean, I think probably Mark Grieco, the director, will be the best person to talk about what's happening right now. But one thing that I love about the film, like, it's always my dream to work in a film that ultimately can become a forum to debate the issue and to help the issue to move forward in the right place, in the right direction. And Marmateños and Marmato and their fight has been very much helped by the film. Before the film was made, Marmateños were already fighting for their right to keep mining the way they mine, or mining with rights, even if there was going to be a corporate mining happening, but mining in their own terms too. That had continued. The difference that now the Marmateños are heroes for Colombians. One thing that we found that I really thought that is very effective in the film is showing you how articulate and intelligent and coherent and passionate these miners, workers are. They are not university graduates, but they are very, 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 very articulate about the issue, like nobody else will be. And they have become basically the leaders of their own movement right now, which I think is beautiful. So there's the problem is not solved, but it's out there, and their voices are here.
And so this film has been seen all over Colombia.
Yes, thanks to a beautiful program, the Gael Garcia, the actor, created name Ambulante. And it's a program that he will get a whole series of documentaries and create this tour around a country. So Marmato was selected for Ambulante Colombia, like other films are selected for Ambulante Mexico or Ambulante Argentina. And Marmato was the opening film of Ambulante. And Marmato opened in Marmato.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And I wasn't there, but it was beautiful.
Amazing, amazing to them and to the people. I mean, so does this Ambulante go to, for example, small towns that don't have movie theaters, that kind
yes,
of thing?
Yes, Marmato have no movie theaters, for example.
Right.
And for some people, it was the first time they saw a movie in their own town, and a movie that reflected their own life. Some people thought that Mark was a spy, for example. Mark has been impersonating many fantasies. But it was very beautiful that the Marmateños saw themselves represented in the film with so much dignity and respect. The film also have been in all the very important places that define the creme de la creme of Colombian culture, like the Museum of Modern Art. It's been in Bogota, in Medellin. It won Best Colombian Film Award at the Cartagena Film Festival, which was amazing for us. It has been all around Colombia, and I think that is one of the most effective and powerful things that the film has been able to do, which is spread the issue.
Right, and get real conversation going.
Yes.
And, I mean, I think so many of these kind of corporate travesties happen because the word doesn't get out quickly enough or doesn't get out at all.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have it in full color with music.
With music, yes.
Tell us about Luis Gonzaga, who is the musician who did the soundtrack for this film and whom we see and hear.
We love Luis Gonzaga. I mean, Luis Gonzaga is a trovador, a trover.
Like a troubadour.
A troubadour,
yeah.
Yes. He's a poet who, with beautiful poetic prose, will tell you the stories and the legends of the town. This is a profession that exists, and it comes from a time beyond newspapers and TVs and radios and any other media. This was the media of 500 years ago. And still today, Marmato have a Luis Gonzaga, who with his guitar will make a beautiful poem, prose, who will tell what is the most meaningful story of the town at that particular moment. And Luis Gonzaga was in love with the commitment the Marmateños have to fight for their rights. And he's not a miner, but he was a miner at some point. And he, when we start looking at the footage and I saw the Mark have this brilliant, fantastic idea of filming Luis Gonzaga, I totally understood Luis Gonzaga has to be, you know, a very important voice in the film. And through his music, tell us the he's like the thermometer of the town. And I think it's a beautiful tool. He's the narrator of our story without having to be the voice of God. He's the voice of Marmato. And it's beautiful when actually you find so much richness in a story, like having a musician who tells the story so beautifully and he sings it, and it's fantastic. I mean, he now is a star in Colombia.
Yeah. What you're saying makes me think about the process of making a film. I mean, you were the editor of the film. You weren't presumably there during the shooting, but you did do the editing in Colombia?
Yes, I have the pleasure of editing in Colombia, in Medellin, where Mark lived with his partner, Viviana Palacio, who is also a Colombian artist, and she is the designer of the poster of Marmato's poster, which is a beautiful poster. So Mark was in Colombia, I was in Toronto, and I felt like I cannot be editing long distance. And it was very hard for Mark to come and spend so much time in Toronto, so I offered myself, why don't I go to Medellin and work with you? And it was the best idea, because we were able to work in a beautiful environment, and with the support of Viviana's family. And we edit in Marmato, in Medellin, for 6 months. And at the same time, have the possibility of going to Marmato. And for me, it was amazing to go to Marmato. Sometimes, the work of an editor is very interesting because you get so close to a character. You know, I was so intimate with, so close with Dumar and his family, and Conrado, and Johan, and Luis Gonzaga. But when we went to Marmato, I didn't want them to know who I was, because I still wanted to remain kind of objective, quote-unquote. I mean, I was in love with them, but I also did not want to get too close, because my job as the editor also was to be fair in the way we were telling the story. So I spent 3 days in Marmato, and having this amazing confirmation of my own fantasy and of being working with Marmato, the footage, Marmato, the people, for so many months. And then here I am, working in Marmato. And it was a beautiful kind of moment of serendipity and deja vu in a way. And we also did some filming when we were there. We basically did a recording with Luis Gonzaga of two songs that are in the film.
It is a funny thing This happens to me sometimes when I read a book by an author over the period of a couple of days, and I feel like I get to know them so mm-hmm. well, and then they're sitting at the table where you're sitting and they don't know me at all. Yes. And there's a funny imbalance with that. As an editor, you had 5 or 6 years of footage to work with, and which is a beautiful thing because we see the progression and we see one of, for example, Jose Dumas' daughters grow up and leave the town to go to higher education. But it must be incredibly challenging for you as an editor because you've got so much to work with, and no matter what, you've got to make a film that's under 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a gift to have that amount of richness in the footage, but it's also a challenge. And for me, I always describe my process as it's even when it's an intellectual and there is an element of being very rational. My process, I'm the kind of editor who believe in the emotional narrative of any story and any issue. The most complex issue have an emotional narrative. And for me, it's when I start looking at the footage, it's like going into this wild rainforest. And within that forest, I have to find my path. And the path is somewhere in between intuition and connectivity. You have to listen to the characters. You have to listen to the real voice that's coming out of that footage and bring a different perspective to the director that has been so immersed on that footage, which is different to direct than to edit. My role is to come from the outside, fall in love with the story or with that immensity, and then help the director to craft the story. And one of the things that we did from the beginning was, you know, there are so many different people who could be in this film. We make this very important choice of who are those 4 people who we think really can tell the story of Marmato and represent Marmato in a way. And we were very lucky. We found 4 very beautiful, rich, complex characters, subjects. I don't like the word character in a documentary. And each one of them have a very convincing arc from the beginning to the end of the film.
I can't help but ask you when you say there was so much to choose from and so many other people who could have been on the film. I mean, the editor and the director have this great privilege to see all of that. Does any of that ever get onto, for example, the DVD? Do we get to meet those other characters ever?
An interesting question for Mark and for Stuart Ritz, who is the producer of the film. I think that, let's put it this way, for me, it's always a painful sacrifice.
Yeah.
There is a lot of beautiful sequences that we edit that didn't make it to the final because, as you said, a film has to have a convincing length. It cannot be over so many hours that will defeat the purpose of the storytelling.
Right.
There are so many beautiful golds, jewels, as I call my sequences, and who I think they will make it to a DVD package. There is also other songs by Luis Gonzaga, who I also think that are part of what they are thinking about to put together as a package. And many other people who are not in the film, because unfortunately it was only few who could be in. But one thing that for us is very rewarding is that, and I was not there, but Mark was, and I was kind of dreaming and imagining every minute of that, is when the film was screened in Marmato, there was this unanimous feeling of pride and joy and commitment of the Marmateños with the story. They felt represented. It was our fear always that we will insult them. Because one thing that for me is really, really important is to respect the subjects in a story, that not to manipulate a subject, which we have the power to do as storytellers.
Yeah. Ricardo Acosta is editor of the documentary Marmato, which screens at 12:30 this Friday at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts, on Old Pecos Trail. It's part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you to you.
And you can find out more at marmatomovie.com, M-A-R-M-A-T-O.